Once again, good morning, everyone. It's good to have everybody here. It's great to be back. That sickness thing, I don't wish that on anybody. But it happens, and it's one of the things about the good Lord, that he will make you well again. And when you go to him in thoughts and prayers and stuff like that right now, doing it for my wife, she had a little bit worse case than I did, but she's holding her own. I mean, I think, as I've told everybody, I think I've turned the corner to get back on the road to recovery and things. But, you know, God has promised each and every one of us to follow his commandments a place to rest. And he has promised that to, like I said, to each of us that follow his commandments. This morning I want to start out and read from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Talks a little bit more about that. And in fact, in my Bible, this is titled The Believer's Rest. But Hebrews 4, starting at verse number 1, reads, "Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." You know, there are days, and I really noticed it this past week, but there are days when I turn over in bed and I start to think about all the things that I need to get done for that particular day. And I thought when I retired that I'd never be thinking about that, what I had to do that particular day. You know, working is a little bit different story. You know, you had schedules to keep, people to call, blah, 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 emails to read, whatever the case may be. But when I got retired, I thought, smooth sailing. Well, I remember people telling me when I was still in the working field that they said, "I don't know how I got any work done. I'm retired now and I'm busier now than I ever have been," and stuff. But I turn over to bed and I start to think about all those things that I need to get done. And just curious, does anyone else ever have that problem? I mean, I think about that, and like I said, I thought when I retired it'd be over and done with, but I was wrong. And then even though it's earlier than when I need to get up, normally I end up getting up anyway, because I can't lay there thinking about all these things that I need to be doing or need to get done, you know, just laying there in bed. And we as Christians, there are a lot of things that we need to do on a day-to-day basis, and probably a whole lot more that we should do than what we have been doing. You know, with Jesus, when he was on this earth, he understood the pressing need. Let's go to John 9. John, excuse me, chapter 9, and verse number 4. And let's see what it says here. It says that we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in this world, I am the light of the world. Jesus understood that pressing need to work for the light of day. You know, we must work with all of our might each and every day, because the thing is that we can't work after we leave this earth, after we have passed away. The work has to be done while we're on this earth, because we have to make the most of the little time that we have. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15. Reads here, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And we can't do that once we've left this earth, once we have passed away. That's why we have to work hard each and every day. But putting in all this effort, all this time, all this energy, it shouldn't be burdensome to us, because we can rest later, because we have a place to rest. Turn with me to Revelation, and this is Revelation chapter 14. And this is verse number 13. It reads here, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors for their deeds following with him." Working for the Lord as hard as we can while we're on this earth, to have Bible studies, whatever the case may be, to serve him, to follow his commandments. Because after we're gone from this earth, we can no longer do that. But I want you to stop and think a little bit about this home in heaven that we're talking about. Can you imagine not being worn out by the activities that you do on a day-to-day basis? No more getting worn out by the activities that you do. And sin, it just will no longer exist in heaven. Sin will no longer exist. And the tears that we shed for loved ones, for each other, for ourselves. In heaven, as the song says, no tears in heaven, no sorrows given. No tears in heaven. Another thing in heaven, there'll be no hunger. There'll be no thirst, because we can all eat from the tree of life and drink from the river of life. Staying in Revelations, let's turn over to chapter 22, beginning at verse number 1. And it talks about this is the river and the tree of life. Verse 1 reads, "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." Don't have to worry about being thirsty. Don't have to worry about being hungry, because it's all going to be provided for you. Another thing, no darkness. No darkness. Bright skies all the time. No darkness, sun going down, anything like that. It's just no darkness at all. You know, the vastness that we're talking about here of eternity lies before each and every one of us. And each moment that we're here on this earth, it brings us closer to that. Every single moment that we're here on earth brings us closer to eternity. You know, all of us should realize that are here today that we're not going to live forever. It's a sad fact to face, but it's there, and it's part of the circle of life. Each of us will die. Each of us will die. But the thing is that we should be leaving this life with unfearing certainty. Because we just got through talking about this place called heaven, where the streets are gold, the water is clear, the fruit of the trees will be there for us. There's no tears in heaven. There is no darkness. You don't get worn out by doing any activities. And sin will no longer exist. We should leave this life with unfearing certainty. You know, there is a home awaiting for us where we can dwell with all the redeemed in fellowship. Stop and think about that. Christian brothers and sisters, family members that have passed, that are in heaven, we can be with them once again in fellowship. We all should be convinced that there is a lovelier world out there, not far away. And the world I'm talking about is heaven. Because that world, that heavenly world, is just over the river of death. It's on the other side. But sadly, there are too many people in this world today that they don't live their lives this hope. They're lost. And that's one of our duties, obligations, responsibilities, whatever you want to call it, to talk to these people. Turn them to the God. Let them know being a Christian is all about. But most people live their lives without this hope. They're scared to death when, as they say, the Grim Reaper comes knocking on the door. What's this next step? I'm scared. I don't know what to do. What is it going to be like? But the one thing is, we as Christians, we cannot lose our confidence. We can't get caught up in this world that we're into. This past weekend, as Mark indicated in his prayer, it's a fiasco. And it's just getting worse for the time being. Do we have that hope? Do we have that desire to follow the Lord? We cannot lose our confidence. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. And this is Hebrews chapter 10. And see what it says here. Hebrews 10. I'm going to start at verse number 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. It says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." We cannot lose our confidence, folks. We have to work each and every day for the Lord. God, God has promised us a place of rest. Let's talk a little bit more about that promise. Turn with me, if you would please, to John 14 and see what it talks about is this promise. We're at John 14, starting at verse number 1. And this is a very familiar reading for the majority of us here today. It reads, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you." Excuse me. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." The mansions that they talk about in this reading are the eternal home for all who have faithfully followed Jesus. Faithfully followed him. You know, folks, heaven is a real place. Contrary to some people in this world today, but heaven is a real place. We may not know where it is, but we know it is a spiritual abode for the redeemed of the earth. That is the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate goal. You know, we long for home. I'm talking about heavenly home. Because this world that we're living in isn't complete. Because while we're in this world that we're living in currently, we're not really home. We live with Christ now. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I believe it's verse number 8. We live with Christ now. Verse number 8 reads, "Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Christ is with us. I've stood up here before, and when I say that, I'm not talking about just on Sundays. I'm not talking about just Wednesdays. And as Mark has brought up more than once in our Bible studies, which is great, he is always with us. He is always in charge. You get down and out, you have to remember things like that. That pity party of one, you're talking about yourself, you shouldn't do that. Because God is with you 24/7. 7 days a week. And God watches over all of us. Now, I don't have this on your sheet, and I don't think I had to put it on your sheet, because an example of that, God watching over us, how about Psalm 23? Everybody know about Psalm 23? "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restored my soul." I don't have to put that in there. That is a great example of God watching over us. A great example. But in heaven, heaven is when we are actually with the Lord and we can see him. Let's go to the book of Job, verse number 19. Excuse me, chapter 19, I'm sorry. Verse 26. It reads here that even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. Actually being able to see the Lord. What a thought. You know, here on this earth, we are just passing through to another land. And I think I brought it up my songbook, I did. And I just want to read, this is a song we sing periodically. This is song number 361. And I'm just going to read it. The title of it, "This World Is Not My Home." This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're just passing through to another land. There is an appointed time that we will be making a change. Once again, we're still in the book of Job. Let's go back to chapter 14. Chapter 14, beginning at verse number 14 in Job. It reads here, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. You will call, and I will answer you, for you will long for the work of your hands. There is an appointed time to change. As the songbook says, basically we are strangers here in this world. We are foreigners, in other words, just visiting. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Okay, we've talked a little bit about this promise. Another question, who will be there? Who will be there in heaven? It reads here that at the end, the kingdom is turned over to the Father. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and read a little bit more about this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 24, it reads here, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. At the end, the kingdom is turned over to the Father. You know, only those born of water and the Spirit will be in that kingdom. And what it's talking about here of water and Spirit refers to the baptism. Those in sin will not be a part of that kingdom, that heavenly kingdom. And that's why we must turn away from sin every day. And I don't know of only one individual on this earth in the history of the world that was sinless, and that was Jesus Christ, which means that the rest of us are. And turning away from sin, another word for that is repenting. And we do that in our invitation every Sunday. It's one of the commandments of the Lord to repent. We also should know that baptism, it washes away those sins. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 22. Acts 22, verse 16. Here we go. It reads here, now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Baptism washes away the sin. You know, as far as having an entrance into the kingdom of heaven, the reason that we have that is by God's grace and the fact that we believe and we accept God's offer. because we've talked about this before in sermons, Bible studies, and such, that all that God does for the sinner is a matter of God's grace. We're all sinners in this audience. The things that he still does for us is through God's grace. And that is a freely given gift. He does it for a matter of God's grace. And all that the sinner does in accepting God's offer is a matter of his faith. We're the sinner. We follow God's commandments. Hopefully, one day, we will enter those gates of heaven. You know, faith isn't separate from works. It is shown by the works done. Let's go to James. James chapter 2 and verse number 18. It talks more about it here. James 2 and verse number 18. Reads here, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by the works. Faith isn't separate from works. It is shown by the works done. Being saved, we then mature to become more like Christ. We want to be more like Christ each and every day. Another question, what will it be like? I know I've had a sermon a few months back. What will it be like in heaven? What will it be like? You know, how do you describe, stop and think about this a little bit. How do you describe the beauties that are in a sunset? And we've had some terrific sunsets lately. How do you describe that to someone who's blind, that cannot see that? How do you do that? Or how about the little ones? You know, grandkids, when our grandkids were younger and they would start giggling and laughing and stuff like that. How do you describe that to a person that cannot hear? How do you do that? How can God describe the beauties of his spiritual realm to people existing in physical bodies? Well, I'll tell you what he does. He takes things that we see in this day-to-day life as valuable, and then says it's something like this, but it's only better. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21 and see what it says here. Revelation 21 and verse 21. Some of this we can relate to because we know what pearls are. It reads in verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gate was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. We on this earth know what pearls look like. We know what gold looks like. We know what transparency glass looks like. So that is God's way of telling us, this is what is waiting for you, good and faithful servant. This is what I have for you. You know, this world, it has its flaws. It also has its struggles. But heaven is free from the corruption of sin, like I said that before. Though that each and every one of us are scarred and stained by sin, the blood of God will purify us all. You know, Jeff Hamilton, he's the guy that's going to be coming from Omaha next month and going to be doing our gospel meeting. I heard Jeff one time when we were talking about heaven. This is what he once said. He says, I can't tell you the fullness of heaven's glory because I haven't been there. And even if I had the opportunity, I wouldn't be able to tell you more because I would have no words to describe it. What I do know, though, is that is more wonderful than I can imagine and greater than I consider myself worthy of obtaining. But my Lord and God has promised that to each and every one of his children. Jeff, I thought you summed it up pretty well, buddy. Will you stop and think about that? Something just that beautiful. Never been there. Can't describe it, but God tries to describe it to us in the Bible here. And the last question that I have this morning in my sermon, and that question is, are you going? Are you going to be with all the redeemed from throughout all the ages? You know, we cannot count the years of eternity, nor understand heaven's grandeur. But is your hope, your desire, to go home? I certainly hope so. I want to close out the sermon today the way we started, with the scripture reading that Bruce did. So if you would, turn with me. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. We'll read this and then the lesson will be yours. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepares us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. You know, the time that the good Lord gives to each and every one of us, it's limited. Like I said before, we all slowly but surely will approach the time when it comes time to depart from this life. And what we turn in as our final report will be based upon our eternal destination. So I urge each and every one of us to make your calling sure. Make it what the Lord has revealed that it should be, following His commandments. And to become a Christian, you follow the words of the Lord. You need to hear Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Earlier, I was talking about the repenting of the sins. You need to do that also. Confess Jesus. Be baptized, fully immersed in water. The sins were washed away. The old man of sin is down there as you come up as a new individual. And last but certainly not least, you need to be faithful always. So this morning, we offer the invitation. If there are people in the audience that are not a Christian, would like to become one, or if there are fellow Christian brothers and sisters that have had a tough week, things going on in their lives that they need to help so the fellow saints. We ask that you please come forward and we sing this song of invitation.